Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Kovav. We will begin on Daf Kovav on an Aleph, three lines from the Daf, Kiyasar Abdini. Says the Gemara, Kiyasar Abdini Omar, Mayim Rishonim Chilu Basach Hazir, because somebody wasn't careful in washing before he ate, he came to eat Chazir meat, Achroinim, and because somebody wasn't careful in washing Mayim Achroinim, Hatzius Ishmevala, it caused that he should divorce his wife. The story with the Mayim Rishonim is that there was once someone who had a restaurant where he served kosher food and non-kosher food, and the way he would know who to serve which food to was if he saw that the person washed his hands before he ate, he knew that that person was careful if he had only kosher food and he would serve him the kosher food. And if he didn't wash his hands, he would serve him the non-kosher food. And once there was somebody who didn't wash his hands before he ate, and therefore the restaurant owner assumed that he wasn't Jewish, and he served him chazer non-kosher food. The Mefarshim asked a number of questions on this story. One is that if this person was acting not in the our way, so they could have told from what he was wearing that he was Jewish or not Jewish. And must be, if they weren't able to tell, he must have been dressed like a non-Jew. So why isn't that a raya? Based on this, the Marik says that the Isser of Chukesayim Loiselechu, the one is not allowed to be dressed like the Akum, is only when someone is wearing clothing that is different and is obvious that only Goyim wear it, or it's clothing that are not modest. But if somebody wears clothing the same as everyone else, and the fact that Jews and non-Jews both wear pants doesn't mean that you're over a b'chukaseyem loyseleichu. Of course, b'chukaseyem loyseleichu is only when the clothing are expressly non-Jewish clothing or non-modest clothing. But then there's another question. Here we see that the owner of the store was selling non-kosher food. And the halacha is that one may not do schayr b'davar osur. One may not do business with something that's osur. So how was he allowed to sell chazer? So some explain that the isra of schayr b'davar osur is only in a situation where somebody expressly goes to do business with non-kosher food, with non-mutter items. But in a situation where it comes to him, that there is no isra of schayr b'davar osur. Of course, the problem with this pshat is that that could be said on the nevela meat. On the nevela meat, of course, when we shecht, there's a possibility that the meat won't always be kosher. But since there's a possibility that the meat isn't kosher, but I didn't especially shecht that the meat should not be kosher, that's when the halacha is that you could sell that meat. But here, as our Gemara is teaching us, it was chazer. Chazer is not that you shechted a behemoth and you found that it's chazer. So how is he allowed to do business with chazer? So there is one opinion that says, most the Paiskim don't agree with this opinion, that the halacha of doing business with davar osur, with not permitted foods, is only in a situation where you relying on that for your livelihood. But in a situation where a person has what to live on, he has panosa without the schayr b'davar osur, the halacha is you're allowed to do business with schayr b'davar osur. Of course, the halacha is not that way. One is never deliberately allowed to do business b'davar osur. Another pshat that Beis Yosef says is that we're talking here indeed with a person who was a rasha, who indeed was not allowed to sell, was indeed not allowed to do business b'davar osur, but he was. However, if one looks into the Medrash that brings down the story, these questions perhaps could be answered. The Medrash says that this episode happened in a time of Gzeira. where the Akum were making Zeirus on Klal Yisrael, not to act in out in the Jewish way. And therefore, in those times, Jews indeed did dress like Akum, but it was a situation of no choice. Furthermore, they had made a decree that one was not allowed to sell kosher food. So if one were to have a shop where he only sold kosher food, he certainly would be in problems with the authorities. So what they did was, they used to have a store where they sold both kosher food and non-kosher food, and they would see, based on the person who came to buy, if he washed his hands, they would know he was Jewish and they would sell him the kosher food. And if not, they would sell him the non-kosher food. And what happened, says the Medrash, was that this person came to the shop to buy food. And after he ate, he came to the restaurant to eat. And after he ate, they charged him. And he asked, how come today it's more expensive than it was yesterday? To which the shopkeeper, the restaurant owner, told him, because yesterday you ate regular beef, and today you ate chazer, and chazer is more expensive. So he said, you serve me chazer? I'm Jewish. To which the restaurant owner said, but you know that the only time we serve kosher food is we see if the person's careful to wash his hands. You didn't wash your hands, and that's how you came to eat chazer. The other episode that the Gemara refers to, that Achronim Hatzius Ishim Ibala, is that the Gemara tells us, Masechet Yuma, that one time Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yossi came to a certain place, and they were staying over Shabbos, and they were carrying with them money, so they asked the person they were staying by, his name was Kidor, to put away their money for him. This person then decided that he's going to deny that they left any money with him when they were asked back for his money, for their money after Shabbos. And indeed that happened. They asked back for the money and he said, I don't know what you're talking about. You never left money with me. So they went to his wife and they said, your husband said you should give back the money that we left with him. And they said, he left a simon, he left a way we should be able to tell you that you should know that that's what happened, because he ate beans for dinner. Because he had not washed Mayim Achronim. And when you wash Mayim Achronim, the halacha is that not only should you wash your hands, but you should also wipe your face. He didn't wash Mayim Achronim, and therefore he didn't wipe his face. So they were able to tell that he had eaten beans, and that's why she thought that indeed he had told them to give back the money, and she gave back the money. When the husband became aware of what happened, he was so upset at his wife that he divorced her, and it all came back because of not washing Mayim Achronim. And as the Mashal explains, the point of this Gemara is, from here we see the mitzvah gereris mitzvah, and avera gereris avera. We do one mitzvah, you wash your hands, you come to eat kosher food. And the other way, if chas v'shalom, you do an avera. Ki asr Ravina Amar, b'shoinim hechiu abos nevela. According to Ravina's version, it wasn't Chazer, it was Nevela meat that was served. Achroinim, according to his version, Hargus and Ephesh. Kidor got so upset at his wife, it's not just that he was upset, that he actually killed her. Aram Nachman Yitzchak was Simonach, and to remember who said was, Os Rav Dima Afka, Rav Dima was the one that said they got divorced, Os Ravin Katla, Ravin said he killed her. Killing is late, comes after divorcing, and the simon is the Rav Dimi came to Yisrael before Ravin. Rav Dimi said divorce, which still she's alive afterwards. Ravin came later and he said they got killed, which comes later, and there's nothing you could do about it afterwards. Rav Avi Masna Chad Mahani Lechad Mahani. Rav Avi learned each one of them l'chumra. That means in the second story we have two versions: did they get divorced or was she killed? He had the version that she got killed, and in the first version, he served them chazer versus just nevela. Why is chazer considered more chomer than nevela? So the Mepharshim explain, because Nevela is also, Chazir is also Nevela, because obviously you don't slaughter slaughter Chazir, and even if you did slaughter a Chazir, it would still obviously be a Nevela. And as the Mepharshim explain, as the Rosh Yosef explains, if something is already usher because of its Chazir, so don't we have a rule of as we discussed extensively in the previous paragraph, of Issachal al-Isser, so it's already not going to be, so it can't be Nevela. So one shot that the Rosh Yosef suggests is that this Gemara is going according to the Mandam that holds Issachal al-Isser. Another explanation that I saw, and this is a fundamental point in the halacha in Issachal al-Isser, that even though we learned Ein Issachal al-Isser, what Ein Issachal al-Isser says is that you can't get an onus, you can't get a punishment for the second aveira. But certainly there is an aveira. It's just you don't get a punishment for it. And therefore, when somebody eats chazer, he's over two aveiras, the aveira of chazer and the aveira of nevela, and which is obviously more serious than just nevela alone. Itmar, says the Gemara, Chamei Ha'or, water that was heated by fire. Chizki says one may not use that water for Netilas Yadayim. Rabbi Yochan says we may use it for Netilas Yadayim. Amar Rabbi Yochan, and says Rabbi Yochan, Shalti Yisr Gamliel B'noi Sharebi, I asked Rabbi Gamliel B'noi Sharebi V'ochel Taharis, who was careful to even eat Chulin Al Taharis HaKodesh, to eat Chulin like it was Tahor. So obviously he was a very scrupulous individual. Va'amali, and he told me, Kol G'dayli Galil Oisukain, in Galil they all use warm water to wash their hands. Chamei Tveria, what about using Chamei Tveria for washing your hands? Chizki Amar, Einot Lam Yadayim, you can't use it to wash your hands. Amar Pinel Lam Yadayim, you could put your hands into that water, and that will be sufficient to be able to eat bread. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Kol gufoy toil behen," you could put your entire body into them. Avloy panav yad v'raglav. Panav yad v'raglav, you can't just immerse in them. The Mepharshim point out that even though our Gemara says panav yad v'raglav, clearly we're not talking about anything other than the Yadayim. The reason the Gemara mentions Panav Yodov Viraglov is because typically when they wash their hands, they would also wash their face and feet. But the point of our Gemara is to teach us that you can't use it only for a mikvah, but you can't use it to just immerse your hands. Why are Chamei Tveria not kosher from the Tilas Yadayim? So Rashi explains that the reason you can't use such water is because they're not halakhically considered water. Since they were from when they were created hot, Chamei Tveria, therefore they cannot be used. Unlike the water that we spoke a moment ago about, Chamei Ha'or, were once started as regular water and just were heated up. That's Rashi's pshat. Other Rishonim, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina, say that the problem with Chamei Tveria is that they're bitter, they're not portable, they're not drinkable, and therefore Chamei Tveria should not be used for Netilas Yadayim. And of course, as the Mepharshim point out, there's a very big nafka mina between Rashi's Pshat and the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina. Let's say you'll have this hot water that's coming out from a spring, from a source, but it's drinkable. According to Rashi, it still will not be allowed to be used for Netilas Yadayim. According to the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina, it would be allowed to be used. Furthermore, our Gemara is teaching us that you could do Netilas Yadayim not just by necessarily washing your hands, but by actually dipping your hands sometimes certainly if you dip your hands into a mikvah, that will be fine to fulfill the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. The question, however, that comes up is what bracha do you make under that circumstance? Some Rishonim say that you make a bracha al Netilas Yadayim even then. Other Rishonim say that you make a bracha al tefilas yadayim, because you're not washing your hand, you're toiveling, you're immersing your hand. The Magen Avraham makes a very interesting distinction. He says, if it's water that you could have used for netilas yadayim, just you did tefilas yadayim, then says the Magen Avraham, you should make a bracha al netilas yadayim. But if it's water that you could not have used for netila, only for tefila, as Al-Gamar mentions, then the bracha that should be made is al tefilas yadayim. Ask the Gemara on Rabbi Yochanan's position. Hashta, that he said you could use it to go to a mikveh, but you can't use it to put your hands in. Ask the Gemara, Hashta kol gufitayl ben. If this water is kosher to be used as a mikveh, pon of yod of raglov, then you only have to wash pon of yod of raglov, which the tay chiv, as we're going to see, of the til sidayim, is only the rabbonin, but kol shkin, that ought to be adequate. Therefore, says Rapop as follows. Bimukhaimam, when the water is in the place, the chamit feria are in the place, the kulam loy pligi dishari, everybody will agree that putting your hands into it is acceptable for washing. Mishkul minay v'manana, to take them out with a cup, to draw water with a cup from the chamit feria and wash your hands that way, says the gemara to kulam loy pligi d'asur, everybody will agree that that is not acceptable. Ki pligi, what is the machloikis between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan? The paskinu v'bas pirsa, where there's a channel, some of the water of the chamit feria went off into a separate channel. Ma'asavar, Rabbi Yochanan holds gazrin and bas pirsa atamana. If people will see that you wash, you're sticking your hand there, they're also going to think that if you draw water from the chamit feria, it's acceptable. And we just learned that everybody agrees that if you draw water from the chamit tveri, it's not acceptable. On Ma'asavah, whereas Rav Chizkiya holds loydazrinim. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that this bas birta, this small body of water, this small pool of water, is still connected to the chamit tveri. And machlokes in the Gemara is, do we make gzeira or not? Rabbeinu Yonah, however, disagrees. He says, if the bas birta is connected, then the halacha is that certainly it's fine under all circumstances. Here the shaila is where it's not connected. And he explains as follows. Even though we know the halacha is that the minimal size of a mikveh is mem saw, is 40 saw, he explains that that's only when a person is going to immerse in a mikveh. When a person is going to immerse in a mikveh, the mikveh has to be at least 40 saw. But let's say somebody's going to toivel a small pin. The halacha is a mikveh just the size of a revius is kosher. And that's the case over here, where you have this separate body of water. It doesn't have in it 40 saw, but it has in it a revius, which we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and tomorrow's shir, is the shir, is the measurement for Netilas Yadayim. And now the question is, can you, and this you have this bas pirsa of chamay tferia that doesn't have in it 40 saw, can you still use it for immersing your hand in it? Chizkiya says you can, and Rav Yochanan says Chazal made a gzeira that you shouldn't. Ketanai, and says the Gemara, this machloikis, if you have such a separate pool of water, is actually similar to machloikis tanon. The Braisa says, Mayim shenislu mishlias behemo, water that's so bad that even animals can't drink in it. Bekalim, if they're in vessels, and you're going to wash your hand from pouring that water on your hand, psulim. Bekarka, but if they're on the ground, shalim. You can use them. Even when they're in the ground, toivel ben kalgufoy, they can be used to immerse yourself in the mikvah. They can't be used to wash your hands. Ask the Gemara the same question that we just had. If they're so kosher that they can be used for a mikveh, so yad v'raglav l'koshke, and certainly they should be kosher for netilas yadayim. Elalah, says the Gemara, the same terrace. The paskin of baspirta, when they're in a separate small pool of water, or b'hapilgi. The masover, gazrinin, baspirta atamana, the shimelazah says that we don't allow you to use the water from that spirit because you may come to draw water from that area, from that, draw that water. Drawing that water into a vessel would not be a kosher netilas yadayim. Well, ma'asavar, like us, we don't make such a gezeira. Amrav idi bar ovin, amrav yitzchak, bar ashyon, netilas yadayim, mechulim, the reason we wash our hands before we eat regular food, nesrach tshono. So what most Rishonim explain is that the Chazal made gzeira that shtam yudayim shniyas hayim, that all hands are considered shniyas, are considered sheni latuma, and therefore must be washed before somebody eats truma. And now says our Gemara that Chazal extended that gzeira that it should not only be for truma but even for chul. However, Rashi himself asks on this pshat a number of questions. He says, if we're concerned about the status of hands and what they've touched, why did Chazal say that they're only shniyas? Chazal should have been concerned that they might have touched an avatoma, and therefore are a rishon latoma. Furthermore, asks Rashi, if indeed the hands did become tamei because they came in contact with tuma, asks Rashi, where do we ever find that if a person is tamei just by washing his hands, the tuma goes off? We know that the way tuma is removed is by immersing oneself completely in a mikveh. So how does just washing your hands, why is that enough? And therefore, Rashi has a whole different explanation. Rashi says that because Chazal were concerned that truma should be treated with the proper respect, they said that all hands should be considered like shniyas, not a real sheni latuma, but it should be considered like a sheni latuma, that it should require washing before eating the truma, in order that we should be careful to eat truma only with clean hands. And now our Gemara says that that was extended, that the halacha is not only for truma, but this halacha applies for chulin as well. Ask Mefarshim that the pasuk says this kadishtem v'yisem kadoshim, and the Gemara explains in the Masechta Brachos this kadishtem elu mayim rishonim. So we see clearly that the pasuk teaches us the chiv of netilas yadayim. So what's our Gemara saying with bnei srach truma? So some rishonim say that that pasuk is only in a smachta. That's not the real, there's no source for the rises of Matthias Yadayim, and it's our Gemara teaching us the reason. Another explanation that the Rajba says is that if we only had that pasuk, we would think that that is only regarding the person who's going to make the bracha, but someone else who's not the one that's making the bracha doesn't have to wash his hands. That's why our Gemara teaches us that everyone who washes has to make a bracha. Voy, another reason why the Chazal said you should wash your hands, Mishum Mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, my mitzvah. What mitzvah is involved in the Tilas Yadayim? Omer Abaya, mitzvah l'shmaya tevechachamim. Chazal told us to wash your hands, so we have to do what Chazal said. So Taisus immediately asks, Voy, seems to indicate that the Gemara is giving us another reason. But the Gemara isn't introducing any other reason. The Gemara is just saying that we have to wash our hands because Chazal told us that before you eat you have to wash your hands because it's not truma. So what's the word for oid? And in fact, some Rishonim and Achronim explain that the word for oid here is not to be understood as a new reason, but rather to be understood as v'oid. Now that Chazal said that you're supposed to wash your hands with Nesrach Truma, so when you wash your hand, you're fulfilling the words of Chazal. Another pshat goes back to what we mentioned earlier, that the reason of Srach Truma is Stam Yadayim Shnias Hayim, that Chazal said that the hands are Shnias. V'oy, another reason Chazal said one should wash his hands is because Mitzvah Shmai Devei Chachamim, where Chachamim want our hands to be clean before we wash the hands. Another pshat that I saw is if the reason was only with Bnei Srach Truma, then that reason should only apply to Kahanim who eat Truma. Mitzvah L'shmaya Divrei Chachamim teaches us that not only Kahanim wash their hands before they eat bread, But even we have to wash our hands before we eat bread. Another pshat that I saw is, as we're going to learn, there are many details involved in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. How to wash, where to wash, while water is kosher. So first the Gemara says, the reason you're supposed to wash, Nesrach Truma. V'oy mitzvah l'shmoy divrei chachamim, not only must we wash our hands with Nesrach Truma, but we have to be careful to wash our hands with all of the rules that Chazal said one should follow in washing your hands. Rav Amar, mitzvah l'shmoya, divrei Rav Elazar ben Aruch. The reason one is supposed to wash his hands, because he has to pay attention to what Rav Elazar ben Aruch said. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, regarding Azov, v'chol ha-shi'iga by Azov, v'yodav l'shotaf b'mayim. Anything that Azov touches and didn't wash his hands. Amar Rav Elazar ben Aruch, v'kan some chachamim l'tiles yidayim min ha-tayra. Chazal said, from here we have to see, shotaf, you have to wash your hands. As the Rishayim explained, certainly this pasuk is teaching us the halacha of Azov. And the halacha of Azov is that if somebody's Azov, he has to go to the mikveh. And this pasuk of Yodav L'shotaf B'mayim is coming really to teach us another halacha, that only like the hands which are exposed and visible, only that those parts of the body are obligated in tefillah. As we've learned, tumas based astarim, tefillah based astarim, the parts of the body that are not exposed and not mechuyev in tefillah. But Rav Elazar ben Aruch said that the pasuk can be also used to teach us the halacha of shotaf b'mayim, that one should wash your hands. Amar le'Rav Elazar nachlai mashma. How do we see from this pasuk? The ksiv v'yadav l'shotaf b'mayim ha'shotaf. But if you were to wash them tar, ask the Gemara. Ha'tefillah boy, as we just said, zov requires tefillah, not just washing. Elochkam. The way to understand the pasuk is, a zov indeed requires tefillah. V'acher, somebody who's not a zov, and therefore he doesn't require tefillah b'mitzvah, shloi shotaf, but if he didn't wash his hand, he's tamei if he eats without washing first. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Aishya, la'amar natilas yidayim l'peiris, el mishim nekiyas. The only time one is obligated to wash his hands before he eats fruit is only if he wants them to be clean. And as the Rishayim explained, and we all know this from the Seder, our Gemara is referring to a person who's eating dry fruit. He's eating an apple. But the Gemara teaches us in Sechta Pesachim that something that's tibula b'mashka, a fruit that's, or a vegetable that's dipped into fruit, that's dipped into liquid, into the 1 to 7 liquids, there's no chiyuv of, there's a chiyuv, that's why we do urchatz, by the Seder of the Tilas Yadayim. Why did Chazal say that only for eating bread is there a chiyuv of the Tilas Yadayim? So Mefarshim explained, because we just learned in the previous Gemara that the chiyuv of the Tilas Yadayim is connected to Truma. And Midaraisa, the only produce that's mechuyev in truma is dogon, tirosh, v'yitzar. Grain, grapes, and oil. Now oil, no one eats straight oil. And wine, tirosh, no one eats without touching the wine directly. You have to have it in a cup or in a vessel. Bread is the only one of the foods that has a chiyev truma daraisa that you could eat by actually touching the food. And therefore, Chazal said that before you eat food, before you eat bread, you should wash your hands. The problem with this pshat is that the Rambam holds that the chiyuv of truma, midaraisa, is not only by dog and tirosh v'yitzar. The Rambam holds it could be by all fruit, or certainly by the shivas aminim. So according to the Rambam, given the way we're learning our Gemara, why did Chazal only say that you should wash for eating bread? So some explain, according to the Rambam, that Chazal only required washing when somebody eats an achilas kva, a permanent meal. So when you eat bread, that's going to be a tefillas kva. Other things are not, eating food is not a tefillas kva where there's no chiv natilas yidayim. Another pshat that the achorim suggest is that bread was something that they ate on a regular basis, and therefore they made the gzera only by bread, not by other fruits. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that food is not mukshel kabel tumah unless it gets wet. So to make bread from grain, obviously you had water, and that grain was mukshel kabel tumah. But the fruit that we're discussing, as we just mentioned a moment ago, the fruit that we're discussing is not wet, because we said that if it's tibula b'mashka, then you do wash your hands. So since it's not wet, so it's not mukshel kabel tumah, and since it's not mukshel kabel tumah, therefore you don't wash your hands. Savimene. So he said that for fruit, you don't wash your hands. Savimene. Chayvu d'leka. There is no obligation to wash with fruit. Ha-mitzvah. But there is a mitzvah. Amalei rava. Loi chayva. There's no obligation. V'loi mitzvah, nor is there any mitzvah involved in washing your hands for fruit. El rishos. It's purely optional. Opligi de Rav Nachman. And this is a disagreement with Rav Nachman said, Rav Nachman said, Hanoit l'yadav l'peiris, not only are you not obligated, nor do you have a mitzvah to wash your hands from the tailor for fruit, and al magasarov, it shows an arrogance. It shows that you're doing something that nobody else does, and you think that you're better. Of course, if somebody says the Rishonim is washing his hands because they're dirty, then the halacha is that you're allowed to wash your hands for eating fruit, and that is not usur. Furthermore, the Achronim say that if you're washing your hands with covered habracha, that you want to make sure that your hands are clean before you make a bracha, certainly that is also mutter. Omer Rabbah B'Vachana, Hava Ke'imna Kameh Rav Ami Ravasi, I was once standing by Rav Ami Ravasi, Aisul Kameh Kalkola Deperi, and they brought in front of them a basket of fruit. Vachu, and they ate. V'loy mashu yadayu, and they didn't wash their hands. V'loy yav limidi, and they didn't give me any fruit to participate. V'rachad chad l'chudei, and each one of them made a bracha separately. Says Rabbi B'Chana from a bracha achroyma. So, says Rabbi B'Chana, from this story, I was able to extrapolate three halachas. Shema minot tlas. That for eating fruit you don't have to wash your hands because they didn't wash their hands before they ate these fruits. We know that when people eat bread, if you have three people that eat bread together, we say a birchas hazimun. So says Rabbi B'Chana, if there was birchas hazimun on fruit, then certainly they would have offered me some fruit so that they should be able to say Baruch Achrona or Birchas Hazimun. The reason that they didn't offer me any fruit, because even if I would have eaten fruit, there would be no chiyah to eat Birchas Hazimun. Shmamino, and furthermore from here we see, Shnaim Sha'achlu, that if two people eat, and they therefore have no chiyah Zimun, Mitzvah L'Cholot, not only should they should separate, each one should say Birchas Hamazon separately. So of course, the Rishonim asked the question, how do we see that that's the case? There we're talking about fruit, but maybe if they indeed want, they could make one bracha together. How do we see from here that they have an obligation to separate? So the Rishonim explained that if there was an opportunity for one to make the bracha for the other, that if that is what the halacha said, then that's what they would have done. Because it's always preferable, because of Beroiv Am Hagras Melech, for one person to make a bracha for everybody. Here the fact that they separated shows us that when there is no Birchas Hazimun, everybody should make a bracha separately. And therefore the same thing by bread, since if we don't have three people eating together, as I said a moment ago, there is no Birchas Hazimun. If there's no Birchas Hazimun, everybody should bench for themselves. However, the Rishonim point out, that's only regarding the Bracha Achroina. When it comes to the bracha Rishayna. There the Rishayim say that even if you don't have three people together, every one person should make a bracha by himself. And the Rishayim offer a number of reasons why. One explanation is that at the beginning of the meal, when they're about to eat, and they're all hungry, so the fact that they're all going to join together to eat is something that combines them. And therefore, one person should make a bracha for the entire group, and for the both of them. In the situation where they ate already, so there's nothing that combines them, because they don't have zeman either. And therefore, the halacha is that each one should make a bracha separately. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that they Birchas Hamazon is a chiv deraisa. So therefore, unless there's a situation of zimun, everybody should say the bracha separately. Whereas the bracha Rishona, the bracha before we eat, is only drabanan. So therefore, it's preferable that one person should say the bracha for everyone. Tanya Hafi, and so too says the Gemara that we learn in the braisa. Shnayim shachlu, if two people ate together, mitzvah l'chalik, they should each say their own separate bracha akroina. Says the Gemara, they both have the ability to say bracha akroina. The one is a Talmud Chacham, one is an Am Aretz. Seifer mevarech, then let the Talmud Chacham say the bracha, or bar yotzi, and we might see the other person. Tan Rabban says the Braisa, the tilas yadayim v'chulin, and one washes his hands to eat regular food, chulin adaparek. Adaparek means until the middle joint of the finger. The truma, however, one's coming to eat truma, says the Braisa, the halacha is adaparek. He should wash his hands until the knuckles. Kiddush yadayim v'glayim v'megdash. We know before all the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, they did kiddush yadayim v'glayim adaparek. There too, you should wash until the knuckles. Furthermore, says the Braisa, v'chadav v'shechaytz v'tfilu v'guf, anything that's considered a chatzitza when somebody has to go to the mikvah, chaytz v'netilas yadayim, it's a chatzitza when one is washing his hands with chulin, or the kiddush yadayim v'glayim v'mikdash. What is considered a chatzitza? As the Rishayim explain, we know that midaraisa, the only thing that's considered a chatzitza is rubai hamakbid. If the chatzitza covers most of the body and makbid the person is particular about it. However, Chazal said if it's a miut hamakbid or rubai she'en hamakbid, if it's most of the body, even if he's not makbid, or if it's a miut, if it's even on the not the whole most of the body, but he's makbid on it, it should be considered a chatzitza. And that halacha applies to tefillah, and says the Gemara, so too is that halacha regarding the tefillah yadayim and kiddush yadayim reglayim. So I sort of mafarshim ask, of course, if it's a chatzitza and halacha, so certainly kiddush yadayim reglayim, which the chiyuv to do kiddush yadayim reglayim is a chiyuv d'oraisa, it certainly we should be strict regarding the chatzitza. So I sort of mafarshim respond that we know there's a rule. The Chazal were more lenient in decreeing the Rabbonans in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, as we just said, the Gzeiros of Chazal regarding Chatzitzas, that they expanded what's considered a Chatzitza, maybe ought not to apply in the Beis HaMikdash, teaches us, the Gemara teaches us the Braisa that it does, and whatever is a Chatzitza outside the Beis HaMikdash is a Chatzitza in the Beis HaMikdash as well. Amarav. Ad kam chulin, ad kam truma. Rav said that until the middle joint is where you wash for chulin, until the knuckle is where you wash for truma. V'shmul amar, ad kam bein lechulin bein lechuma. Both for chulin and for truma, you wash until the knuckles. And the way the Rishonim explained that even though lechumer, because Shmuel was machmer, even though Shmuel agrees that the braisa differentiates between chulin and truma, but since Shmuel was a kohen, and therefore there were times that he ate truma that he had to wash his hands until his knuckles, therefore he said that he always was machmir to wash until his knuckles. The sheishes amar ad kan bein lechulin bein lechuma. He said the same place lekula that he washed until the middle joint, which of course the Rishonim have a very hard time understanding Rav Sheshet's opinion. Even though the Braisa clearly differentiated between Chul and a Truma, so we could understand, say, the Rishayim, the opinion of Shmuel, that he wanted to be Machmer, as we just explained, especially because he was a Kayin, and he wanted to be Machmer and wash till his knuckles always. But how could Rav Sheshet be more lenient than the Braisa, where the Braisa clearly indicates that the Truma you have to wash until your knuckles? So one shot that I saw is that obviously Rav Sheshet had a different girsa in the Braisa. Another shot is that certainly Rav Sheshet was not more lenient than the Braisa. And Rav Sheshet clearly was held that the Truma you have to wash until the knuckles. The Rav Sheshet is being makel, but the Gemara is commenting that Rav Sheshet is being makel, is being makel versus Shmuel. With Shmuel washed till the knuckles, even for Chulin. Says the Gemara, no, Rav Sheshet for Chulin washed until the middle joint. But for Truma, certainly you have to wash until the knuckles. Arm behedya, have a ki'imnika major of Ami, Vama, Akan, Bein, Lechulin, Bein, Truma, that both for Chulin and for Truma, Lechumra, until the knuckles. The light time, and don't say Rav Ami did it b'shim the kain ho, because he was a kain, and therefore, as like Shmuel, he was more machmer, because our Rameshia by Abraid Rabbi Shuban Levi, who Levoi was a Levi, Vama Atkan Bein Lechulim Bein Lechuma, that he, even though he was a Levi, washed both for Chulim for Truma, Lechumra up to the knuckles. The Rif has a different girsa in Abraisa, and according to him, the Shmuel, Rav Ami, Ramashi, were careful to wash the entire hand until the wrist for Chulim, which is the sack that the Shulchan Aruch brings. However, what we learned in our Gemara is very relevant regarding Yom Kippur, because we know on Yom Kippur one is not supposed to wash his hands. So it's not really much of a question of washing for eating, because we're not eating either, but it's washing in the morning when we wash Negel Vasser. And many Paiskim, based on this Gemara, say that when you wash your hands in the morning Yom Kippur, you only have to wash until the middle joint or only until the knuckles, because our Gemara clearly indicates that that's really the place to where you have to wash your hands. It is interesting to note that I saw that the Paiskim say that even though as far as washing Negel Vasser on Yom Kippur, we should only wash until the middle joint, until the knuckles, when Kohanim have their hands washed for Duchening, even on Yom Kippur, they should have their entire hand washed. Amar Rav, says the Gemara, says Rav, Noitel Adam Estei Yadav Shachris. Somebody could wash both hands in the morning, Umasnaleim, and he makes a Tanai, Kalayoyim, Kulay, that he shouldn't have to wash his whole hand all day, that the washing in the morning should be effective, that it should be good for the whole day. So, of course, Rashi says that that's only, he has to, of course, be careful, then he has to be careful not to touch anything that would change the status of his hands all day. So if he washed his hands in the morning and had a mind all day, then it's acceptable. However, the Rishonim furthermore point out, Noitel Adam Yadav Shachris, it's only, some Rishonim say it's only if he washed his hands in the morning when he gets up to wash Negel Vasser. But if he washed his hands to eat a meal, and he says that this washing should be effective for other times, it would not be acceptable. Other Rishonim say there's no nafkamina. It makes no difference if you wash your hands for Negel Vasser or you wash your hands for a meal. If when you wash your hands, you have a mind, it should be effective for the rest of the day. For any other time you're going to eat bread, it's acceptable. The others say it's only acceptable when it wasn't being done for mitzvah netilas yadayim. But if you're doing it for the mitzvah netilas yadayim, then you can't rely on it for any other times. Furthermore, the Rashba says, from our Gemara it seems, that you have to have kavanah when you wash your hands. Because our Gemara is saying that you make a tanai and you pay attention that that's why you're washing your hands. Most Rishonim disagree with the Rashba. They say it's only in this case where the person's making a tanai. It's an unusual situation. He's making it tonight, and that it should be effective for the whole day. That's where intention is required. But if somebody's doing it in a normal way, he's just washing his hands to eat, there no kavanah is required. Furthermore, the Aruch HaShulchan says an interesting chiddush. The Aruch HaShulchan says that The Gemara says, Umasnalem kolayon kuloy, that this Tanai is only effective all day long, but it will not be effective for a meal that one will eat at night. And there's also machloikis rishonim, if one has to verbalize the Tanai, or having a machshava for the Tanai is good enough. Amlei Ravina, Ramlei Ravina Lerav, Lebnei Pasuk Da'arvitz, he said to the people of Aravitz, Kigoyen Atem de Lashrichu L'mayim, you who don't have water, Mash Yudaychem Tzafru, wash your hands in the morning, Vasna Layel Kulayom, and have in mind that that should be good for the whole day. Iked Amri, so there's two ways of understanding what he meant. Bishaf Tchakin, what he meant to say is that we can rely on this Tanai only in extenuating circumstances where there's no water, otherwise we shouldn't rely on it, or Pligi the Rav, which would be disagreement with Rav, because Rav said we could always rely on this. Dikadamri, Shalai B'Shas Tchak Nami, Ravina said you could rely on this even Shalai B'Shas Tchak, Vahana the Rav, and that's exactly what Rav said. However, the Rishonim say that even though we take the more lenient opinion, and you could rely on the Tanai all day, if somebody has, when somebody washes his hands, even though he made the Tanai, if when he comes to eat bread, he has water available, he should certainly wash his hands. However, the Paiskim do indicate that there's a question now. Because let's say somebody made the Tanai in the morning, and now he is about to eat bread, and he does have water available. So now we're saying he should wash his hands. But there's a question, can he make a bracha on Tilas Yadayim? Because essentially, he's really not obligated to wash his hands because he made the Tanai in the morning. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that he should wash his hands and not make a bracha. Says the Chazon Ish, what he should do is that he should be careful, he should go out of his way to touch something that will make his hands dirty. For as we started this piece of Gemara, this Tanai is only effective if he didn't have his hands come in contact with something that would make the hands dirty. So if he deliberately makes his hands dirty, so certainly the Tanai is no longer effective, and he can wash his hands and make a bracha on the Tilas Yadayim.